It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Marie Wacker. Marie is the CEO of Fora Health. Hey there, Marie. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Thank you, Gary. I'm happy to be here.
So I think we probably should get started today by talking about Fora Health. Tell us about Fora Health.
Sure. Fora Health is actually the rebranded version of what was DePaul Treatment Centers. And we have a long history of nearly 50 years of service in providing services for mental health and substance use disorder. And we provide all levels of care for substance use disorder with co-occurring mental health, starting with withdrawal management to residential therapy to outpatient therapy. We provide medication-assisted treatment. We have about 70 residential beds. We have 24 withdrawal management beds. And, of course, we have an outpatient team already to help.
Great. So tell me about your background. How do you come to Fora Health?
Yeah, so this is my ninth year with Fora. And I have been after graduate school in a nonprofit for the entire time. And my first involvement with a healthcare nonprofit was with the OHSU, working at the Cancer Institute as a fundraiser. And then in early 2000s, and then I moved to the Red Cross, where I led the Oregon chapters and the Southwest Washington chapters of the region. And when I moved here, I, of course, have spent the time working on getting Fora in good shape and back to really kind of what it was in its heyday. There were some challenges when I joined, and now we're doing really good. And despite all the things I have to share today, you know, we're surviving. Well, we have a great organization, really amazing team.
Excellent. That's good to hear. So mental health, people seem to be talking about mental health a lot lately. Why is that?
Well, you know, I think that it is because we see it all around us, for one thing, that we have many people who are houseless in our community. And oftentimes we can observe that they are probably experiencing mental health crises. We also have the reality of 3 years of a pandemic, and we know through statistics that in the last 3 years, we have had significant challenges that have increased the symptoms of mental health disorders. And so there's much greater need in our community, maybe in our very own families and extended families, than there's been historically.
It does seem to be, not meaning to sound insensitive, but you do see people on the street and you're thinking, what's going on?
Yeah, right, exactly. And they need help, you know, and so we've got to figure out a plan in Oregon for sort of like, you know, figuring out how are we going to help them? What are we going to do consistently, regularly, and systemically that will change this.
Well, let's talk about that. What is the state of our behavioral health system here in Oregon?
Yeah. So first of all, a lot of people could answer this question, but I have some thoughts around, you know, basically we have an increasing, as you and I have just talked about, an increasing preponderance of health and substance use disorders in the population against the fact that we have a system that is woefully inadequate to address these needs due to a lack of investment, really for decades, in the behavioral health system. And some telling statistics that I think are kind of shocking to hear. And some people have heard these before, and maybe a lot of your listenership will have not heard these. But in Oregon, we rank first in the nation with the highest percentage of individuals who have a substance use disorder and cannot get treatment. We Wow. rank sixth in the nation for deaths from alcohol and second for deaths due to drug use. We rate first in the nation for illicit drug use disorder, 9% of our population. We are overdose deaths have increased by 70% from 2019 to 2020, and then they doubled in 2021. And in 2019, and we know these numbers that have gone up, 73,000 emergency department visits and 17,000 hospital admissions for overdose had occurred. And then, so therefore, the bottom line is Oregon's system of care is horribly broken, and it's going to take years to rebuild it to meet demand that is before us.
Those are really shocking statistics.
Yeah.
And you say it's because of Oregon's system, right? It's not like we have more mental health issues in Oregon than or drug issues in Oregon than any other state. It's just it's the system that's the problem.
Well, it's the funding of the system okay. and the lack of investment over decades. That have really, you know, put providers in positions of doing the best they could with what they have. And frankly, that's not enough. And so only continued investment in providers and leadership and all these things are going to sort of, everybody's got to get on board from the top administrative levels of the state, the governor, and legislative leaders, to the county leaders, and to provider leadership to solve this.
We're talking today with Marie Wacker, CEO of Fora Health. Marie, what do you see as the most pressing issue in the state right now?
The most pressing issue in my mind is leadership at the Oregon Health Authority. OHA's budget is about 30% of the state's overall budget. And services to OHP members are driving a lot of those costs. And so finding, as you know, we have an interim leader right now, the of OHA, and there's a search underway for a person to take the role permanently. And, you know, finding the person who is competent and willing to take on the director role is no small feat. It's a huge job with huge issues that have developed over time and will take time to resolve. But it is a job where someone has got to be comfortable making hard decisions, difficult choices, knows how to organize for outcomes, and understands that behavioral health is driving significant physical care costs for Oregon Health Plan members.
Yeah, that's a big ship to turn around.
It is a huge ship to turn around.
Where does someone start?
Like I said,
the $10,000 question.
With a good, strong director, and with the behavioral health director holding a direct report to the director of OHA, which has not been the history, so that the top leadership of the authority is fully informed and connected to the issues we have and the needs we have in behavioral health.
Can we talk a little bit about the healthcare mental health workforce shortage that we have?
Sure. We can definitely do that. So We have, first of all, there was an OHSU, and I have lots of information about this, but in the September of last year, OHSU released their needs assessment for the SUD and mental health state of, you know, Oregon, kind of along the lines of the first question you ask. And the findings of their study are really profound and incredibly shocking. But workforce, no doubt, is one of their findings. Their study showed us that they believe there is a 49% gap in workforce needed against what Oregonians need for these services. That's a lot of people. We're talking, we need to double our workforce. And so some things are being done, you know, right now. And let me just say, of the current situation, obviously, then that also means half of our providers lack the capacity to meet the demand, right? So if we have to double our demand, so that's how we get there. And then there is some work being done. There is a behavioral health workforce initiative with Oregon Health Authority, and it was funded by last year's bills, HB 4071 and 2949, that provided $60 million to develop diversity in the behavioral health workforce. So in other words, we need to become a more diverse workforce representative of all people in Oregon. And there was also a $20 million grant in grants provided to providers who want to offer clinical supervision for new workforce. And then last, and not important, unimportantly, loan repayment. Many of these people have significant student loan debt from, you know, going to through their master's level programs. And so what they're offering is up to $50,000 a year for a full-time person with a commitment of 2 years of service. So those things, you know, are very important.
Yeah.
But I would also say, you know, the other thing that has happened is there was in the 2021 legislative session, you know, the Human Services Committee, led by Representative Rob Nose and Senator Kate Leader, provided a visionary way to move forward. And included in that, following that, they outlined all the spectrums of care that are out there, and starting from housing all the way to the state mental health hospital and all places in between that people land. It's a lot. And they, you know, basically in what got done in that session was about $1.2 billion in investments were made. In last year's session in 2022, HB 4004 added an additional $132 million available for the workforce. So it went to providers to provide incentives, wages, and recruitment. And the beauty of that bill was it wasn't a one-shot injection. It was in year two, after those incentives were funded, then the rates got raised by 30% for providers, so that now those wages are sustainable. So that's some really good stuff for workforce right now.
Something, at least something's getting started, right?
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. Excellent. We're talking today with Marie Wacker, CEO of Fora Health. Marie, what is currently being done to address the addiction and mental health crisis in our state and here in Oregon?
Well, I think there's a lot being done. You know, the one thing, in addition to the $1.2 billion, and is we all Oregonians passed Measure 110, which criminalized personal quantities of illicit drugs, and diverted marijuana tax revenues to the tune of $300 million that was available last fall for increased access to care. So that's a huge part of what's being done. And on top of all the other stuff I just talked through. And so There are many legislative work committees. Rob Nose is leading his a committee right now for the behavioral health that is about looking at Measure 110 and some of the challenges we found in delivering on those grants in terms of, you know, what could be done to make that program better align with what voters understood they were voting for, is what he says. You know, his goal is to make sure that what we have is going to be aligned with what folks thought they were voting for. So, you know, those things are being done, and it's really, really good work.
Yeah. What improvements are you seeing?
Well, we're seeing some. We're able to be, my organization has been able to be more competitive on wage. Still have a vacancy rate for key positions that are patient facing, and which allow us to use all of our 70 beds, for example. And many providers still have vacancy rates that exceed 20%. And that is because the wage we can offer, coupled with the loss of workforce in general, is not competitive. And so we need to continue to invest in making the wage competitive so providers can deliver all their access. They can fill every bed they have. They can have all the counselors they can support who have caseloads of, you know, 50 to 75 individuals. So we are seeing some improvements for sure. There's so much, you know, more to do. You know, I think about the fact that we need to become a sector where the wage is the highest in the market in behavioral health, because the Oregonians who we serve, who are acutely in need through the Oregon Health Plan, they are the most ill. But those people working in community health centers like ours are licensed by the OHA, should be considered to be the best in the league. And so very much like how in the medical field, you have providers who are paid more because they deal with the most acute patients who have cancer, patients who have organ replacement needs. And that is the kind of way we need to think about the workforce that's serving one in four Oregonians on the Oregon Health
Plan. It sounds like there's still a bit of stigma attached to mental health and addiction.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. And it's changing. It's definitely changing. I appreciate you pointing that out, because in only 9 years, when I first came into the field, it was really, really felt, that stigma. But it is getting significantly better. We're talking about it. Frankly, I think the pandemic helped us talk about it, because you couldn't ignore the fact that suicide rates were increasing and people were getting diagnosed with significant mental health issues on a much greater, in a much greater fashion.
Let's talk about pre and post pandemic. What happened over the last 3 years with regard to mental health? Are things getting any better now?
Well, what happened, as I said earlier on, is we saw suicide rates double, almost double 2 years in a row. We began providing, as many providers had to move to telehealth care for helping patients. And our systems were overwhelmed with people who wanted help through telehealth. As time went on, like all of us, staring at the box, talking through the box, became less productive. And so people starting to fall away from their treatment or come to their treatment, frankly, loaded, because they weren't in the group setting. We know that healing in these situations does occur in a peer group the best. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was, we are now in the place where we are ready to get people inside our buildings, and they are, they're coming back, and using the strength of others going through the same thing you are, to really help people get into the place they really want to be for themselves.
Did you see any challenges with regard to the digital divide, like people not having access to internet and computer and therefore not having access to telehealth?
We did not experience that, but I am certain that that occurred. I just don't know anything about that.
Okay. We're talking today with Marie Wacker, CEO with Fora Health. Personally urged the legislature to expand our state's behavioral health system. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm grateful to see our governor call out behavioral health as one of her top three priorities alongside education and housing. That's really terrific. Her office has taken steps to elevate and provide the needed special attention to the behavioral health crisis in the policy they've introduced and in the budget. Her budget includes investments to expand SUD prevention and intervention services, about $7 million, and proposes capital funds to expand substance use treatment residential facilities, including withdrawal management and sobering centers. We understand there are constraints of balancing this budget, but providers are pushing the legislator to build on the governor's recommendations and invest more. And I want to give a shout out to Representative Sanchez and Senator Steiner, who co-chair Ways and Means, where that final budget decision will get made, because they've been tremendous advocates for behavioral health. And we're hopeful that they will add resources to the governor's proposed investments. Just as an example right now, in terms of what's being proposed versus what the need is, $110 million is being proposed to fund 175 mental health residential beds. Yet, OHA estimated we need between 280 to 420 mental health beds. So we're funding part of that, but we're not funding all of it. For substance use disorder beds, $52.5 million. Yet the OHSU needs assessment said we need 470 new substance use treatment beds. So, and there's other statistics in here around supported housing, similar kinds of numbers where here's what's in the budget, but here's what the need is. And the COLA increase that's proposed is a 5%. And we know ourselves that inflation's over 8%. So, those kinds of things are things that we're hopeful to get the legislature in its final vote to expand on the governor's budget. But we're so grateful to her for her leadership, continued leadership, and presence with us in this space.
We've got a couple of minutes left. Talk to me about what kind of federal assistance our state is getting.
Well, the state receives a Medicaid match. So the dollars that we spend for the Oregon Health Plan in many cases are matched through the Medicaid program at the federal level. Also, as you know, President Biden recently announced a strategy to address mental health nationally. And it's really in his State of the Union address. And it's really exciting to know that what we're doing in Oregon is very much aligned with what President Biden has outlined. Resources to support the workforce, continued federal investment in CCBHCs, which are clinics to provide both mental health and substance use services, best practice, removing barriers to medication-assisted treatment for substance use, increasing access to telehealth, which is threatened at this moment, and allowing states to apply for waivers that support high-risk individuals.
Wow, there's a lot of information you've given us today, Marie. This has been great. But if somebody wants to find out more information about what we've talked about, where's the best place for them to go?
I would highly encourage folks to take a look at the OHSU needs assessment gap released last September. And I would direct them, if it's a big report, 200 and some odd pages, but it is really telling of the need, the depth of the need in the state. And then I would encourage them, you know, you can log into the behavioral health and the healthcare committees, if the Oregon legislature, right from your computer, and listen to some of, you know, look at their agendas and listen to some of the debate that's going on. So those would be my two recommendations.
Oh, great information and important information, Marie. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
We've been talking today with Marie Wacker, CEO of Fora Health.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.